So taking up a reasonably comfortable sitting position. And as we do so, we bring attention to the body sitting here. Try to retune into sensations. First of all, trying to be aware of what sensations are as a bodily experience. And then you could say, in some sense, interpreting them. Once we have some clarity with regard to sensations, of course, the interpretation is quite automatic. And in general, it can be helpful to try to become more aware of, say, whether the body is relaxed or tense. How do you experience relaxation in the body? How do you experience tension in the body? A simple word, tension, but as an experience, it's quite deep and many nuances to it. Many different textures to it. First of all, just being aware of that experience, just as it is. Sometime we can get some little more insight into the cause and effect processes involved in it. And is that experience of relaxation and or tension, does it seem familiar to you? Or is it a new experience? As you tune into the sensations of the body, do they seem familiar to you? There's a new experience of body. This is the Sunday morning body. Fortunately, it's the after breakfast body, so it should be reasonably comfortable. I don't know if it's your after coffee body yet or not, but if we do notice, for example, that seems to be increased tension in the body from yesterday. In general, it's relaxation. A relaxed body is more beneficial physically and mentally. And if you notice more increasing tension in the body, it's usually an indication that we're coming from a more egocentric, willpower-based attitude. It can be helpful to just relax a little bit more. Using willpower as your main source of energy. First of all, it can't be sustained for very long. Depends on how much willpower you have, but not in the long term, because it's quite artificial. willpower. Will is a expression of ego, of self. So it's a very narrow-based attitude, rather than more an open attitude of just trying to be aware of the way things are. Indicates we're trying to get something, get some result for myself. And many times this may just be an old habit. So maybe trying to adjust the posture somewhat, shifting your habit out of the familiar body to a new kind of bodily relationship, physically and or mentally as well. And once the body is reasonably comfortable, we turn our attention to the sensation of natural breathing once again as the main focus for attention, the main point of reference. And first of all, observing just how clear that sensation of breathing is. Has it gained more prominence that you've been doing the exercise for, what is it now, 36 hours or something? Maybe 37, because the clocks went back. Or is it somewhat faint, distant, hard to notice? You have to struggle with it. And once again, just observing this, what's happening in the body-mind. And then as a general principle, it's more helpful if you have a reasonably strong point of reference to refer to. So how to sharpen that awareness of breathing. Bringing more energy into the body, bringing more energy into the mind. Open the eyes, sitting more upright, without straining. Maybe giving a bit more attention to the beginning of the inhalation, end of the inhalation, end of exhalation, those points where there is obvious change. You're observing the breathing through its more continuous phase, its more steady, continuous phase. It supports more tranquility, but can lead to dullness as well. When you notice where it changes, you have to look more carefully at that moment of change, if you like. You have to sort of refocus your attention more sharply. Also, if you observe the kind of breathing which is happening, you know, interest, curiosity helps to rouse energy. What kind of breathing is happening? Is it steady breathing? Is it somewhat interrupted? Is it flowing easefully into the body? Or is there some strain to it? Or it feels constrained? Inhalation and exhalation are the same length, or and with that kind of breathing, do you notice a relationship in the other aspects of the body? If your breathing is a bit constrained, you notice your chest is a bit constrained. Your shoulders are tensed up or something. Is the body relaxed and comfortable? And with that kind of breathing? What's the feeling tone in your experience now? Pleasant? Unpleasant? Would you say it's just neutral? Neutral is literally neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So if you go through the list, it's not unpleasant, it's not pleasant, I guess it must be neutral. Either you're unconscious or it's neutral feeling. A little hint, a neutral feeling is a bit hard to notice because it's not, it's neither one nor the other. It's neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So it's more a method of elimination rather than something very positive, necessarily. In a positive sense, you could say it's equanimity or something. Observing this sensation of natural breathing, are you able to sustain some attentiveness on it, some continuity of attentiveness, following the inhalation, the exhalation, inhalation, exhalation, or do you notice your attention or your mind wandering off the breathing? To other sensations in the body, to the sounds outside, thoughts in your mind, back to the breathing again. If you do notice that the mind can observe the breathing with some continuity, again, it's relative to us what some continuity is. The mind seems to be reasonably quiet, reasonably calm. Then you can just drop the breathing, as it were. You don't need to keep focusing on breathing. We use the breathing to focus on the breathing in order to calm the mind. So when the mind is calm, you don't need to keep focusing on just the breathing. And then you can expand the awareness now. The mindfulness, the awareness expanded from the sensation of breathing to other sensations in the body. Coolness on your forehead. Sensation in your hands right now. Sensation on the top of the head. First of all, going to whatever sensation is most prominent. And maybe it could be helpful to use that exercise I gave you yesterday about consciously moving attention through the body to different points, different places. Some sensations we only notice if they become very strong. But if you bring attention to particular places, you may notice, oh, I never noticed that before. I didn't look there. I mean, whoever tries to be aware of the sensation on top of their head, unless the Australian sun is burning a hole in your brain. First of all, this helps to broaden the awareness itself, and also helps us become more familiar with sensation, our experience, our direct experience of body. We can also expand the awareness to feeling tones. And generally I find it's easier to investigate feeling tones with regard to physical sensation. There's a sensation in the body, say the sensation in your hands right now, and with that sensation there's a feeling tone. It's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. This feeling tone is, of course, with mental activity, but you tend to be a little bit quicker to change. But the sensations are a little bit more stable, physical sensations a little more stable. So you can get maybe a little bit of an experience of feeling tones with regard to the more stable physical sensations first. And if you notice that you get caught up with, you get involved with, you start analyzing or thinking about those sensations you're aware of, let's go back to the breathing again. Try to observe the experience directly, without interpretation, without judging, without analyzing. Just sensing sensation, just feeling tone. And of course, there's also the states of mind. If there is some mental activity going on, what kind of mental activity? You know, is it a thought about the future? Is it thinking, conscious thinking? Is it a memory floating up from the past? What's the mood of the mind? Is the mood uplifted? Somewhat depressed? What's your mental weather right now, I'd say? Sunny, cloudy, potentially raining? What's the mood of the mind? If it's hard to notice that, look at the body. If you notice there is the body, is the bodily sensations a bit heavy, maybe your mood's a bit heavy too. Clouds are down in your mind, in your mood. A cloudy mood. It's a heavy body. You know, maybe there's that direct association, but and once again, if you start thinking about what is my mood anyway? Is my mood this? Is my mood that? Just go back to the breathing once again. We're just trying to observe, just like you observe the weather. So when you step out the door, should you take your umbrella or put your suntan cream on? You just have to observe it, and then you know what to do, what it's about. So we are exploring the experience, the mood of calm, if you like, the state of mind of calm. And in order to get some familiarity with what is calm enough, you need to try it out. The mind seems to be calm enough, then expand the awareness. Other sensations besides breathing. Settling the mind upon one object is a support for calm, but is it just a prop for calm too? As soon as you let go of the breathing, your mind just takes off into outer space. If so, then that calm is not very deeply established, not very stable. So we go back to the breathing to reestablish it. I try and deepen it, broaden it. And it seems to be calm enough once again. A new experience of calm. We can drop the focusing and give attention to the awareness exercises. Expand the awareness to other experiences. And some we come across may be somewhat energized or volatile, and we start reacting to them. Back to the breathing again. The breathing is our lifeguard, place of refuge. But if you just stay there all the time, you never learn how to make your way in the world. You never learn how to deal with other experiences. All we know is just calm. Hide in the calm. It's not a very safe place because calm is also impermanent. If your awareness comes across something which seems to be persistent, seems to have some substance to it, see if you can expand that awareness to look what's behind it, what's supporting it, what's its root, what's its source, what's its cause. As I mentioned yesterday, the Buddha awoke to the truth of causality. Everything arises from a cause, except Nibbana, but probably shouldn't bother us now at this time. And we're expanding the awareness itself. Not expanding the thinking about it, using that whatever we come across as our point of reference, and then broadening our awareness, what's around it. Maybe cross-referencing with physical sensations, feeling tone, states of mind. It may give us a new angle on it. Looking at it from the side or underneath or above or something. Perhaps it allows us to see what's behind it. If not, back to the breathing again. Sometimes we aren't able to see the causes because there isn't enough calmness of mind or enough clarity, enough strong awareness yet. Going back and increasing the calm, increasing the awareness, sharpening the awareness on the breathing, for example, or other sensations, strengthening it, sharpening it, and perhaps returning that awareness to the seemingly more substantial theme, experience. Perhaps we can see it more clearly. We can use the breathing as a focus for attention to establish calm. You can also observe the process of breathing to sharpen your awareness. Inhalation begins, persists, and ends. Exhalation begins, persists, and ends. And different kinds of breathing. Deep breathing, shallow breathing, long, short, fast, slow, which also are an indication of your state of mind. You can read the breath, you can probably read your mind as well, and vice versa. bring attention back to the body sitting here once again. How is the body at this time? Relaxed or tense? Are there any places where there is some discomfort? What's the condition of the mind right now? Increased calm, decreased calm, increased clarity, decreased clarity. And we know the causes behind this condition, those conditions. Or maybe not yet. And then you can relax your posture and open your eyes. Yesterday, with regard to the formal exercises or instructions about alternating between the sitting and the walking meditation, I forgot to mention about sleeping meditation, didn't I? Or lying down meditation, excuse me. Not much to talk about, is there? You lie down and become unconscious. Watch your breath until you become unconscious. I could just put a little bit of a little bit in there, that if you can be aware of your breathing and you're falling asleep, very interesting. Just keep your attention on your breathing and notice what happens to your state of mind, for example. You know, Ajahn Chah used to recommend that we have mindfulness or awareness of breathing from the moment of awaking in the morning to falling asleep at night. Something to live up to, huh? And I mean, I can't say that I've done it continuously, but I tried it sometimes. It's a very interesting experience. How you recreate yourself in the morning. And you wake up and you deconstruct yourself in the evening when you go to sleep, huh? Wake up in the morning and who am I? Uh-huh. But no problem, huh? Till you know, oh, it's me. Oh, God, I got to get to work. And then the problems begin. We start our day, you know? But if you wake up in the morning, oh, I'm breathing. Breathing, 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 no problem. Huh? Anyway, try it. Just don't miss the bus, that's all. You can just blame me for it. He told me just to watch my breath, not to watch the my get to work self, you know. But for example, in the walking meditation, I mean, I gave the basic instructions yesterday. The kind of main point is to do walking meditation at a normal pace. And it can be helpful to have a particular walking place, a walking path, if you like. In the monasteries and here and in Thailand, every monk's hut has a walking path attached to it. You know, as part of the, you know, we sit inside or outside the hut, and then there's walking meditation path also. Around here, they built platforms. There's one over one of the huts over there. It's an elevated platform. So if you feel sleepy, that's the one to go to. You'll be very reluctant about falling asleep because you might fall off the platform. It's lifted off the ground. And in one place, it's nearly over half a meter off the ground, you know, 70 centimeters, so it's a long way to fall. Huh? Maybe I shouldn't mention it because it probably is against building code. In New Zealand, you can't have a balcony more than 1 meter, higher than 1 meter, without a balcony around, without a railing around it. So. This is only 70 centimeters, so it still qualifies. But from the basic instructions, I mean, the basic form of the walking meditation, for example, and I mentioned about to discover what is the so-called the normal pace, rather than trying to think what's normal, just listen to the body. Your body will tell you what's normal for you at this particular time. But you can also adjust it. You can also adapt to it. Adapt it. You know, for example, if you notice that you're doing walking meditation and your mind's not calming down, maybe try some adaptation to it. You know, walk a bit slower. Maybe walk a bit faster. You know, if you're really keen, you can even try walking backwards. Especially if you're sleepy. You know, sometimes these, sometimes these experiences we have, you know, they are kind of held in place by habit. And our habit is held in place by our body and our mind, you know, our attitudes and our physical posture even. You know? That's why I asked you this morning, you know, when you observe the condition of the body, does it seem familiar to you? Is this the same old body? Is this you who was sitting here yesterday? Or is it a new body? Anyway, that was a clever point, but and some people, of course, they hold on to their bodily posture, hold on to their body, they identify with their body very much, and so it's very habitual, you know, identification with my body. And then something happens to it, they start to get an ailment, and, oh, no, it can't happen. No, I'm changing. This can't happen to me. Sorry. The body has a different plan. The body has its own reality, whether you like it or not. So sometimes, if like in the walking meditation in particular, I mean, when you're sitting, it's a little bit difficult to change your physical posture. Maybe it is helpful sometimes maybe to sit in a different kind of posture, or at least to bring awareness to the posture you're in. We sit in the same posture, but is it the same experience of body? The same sensations are the same sensations there or not? When you take up the same posture, do you assume the same personality or persona? Yes, now I'm the meditator. But a walking meditation is a little bit more flexible. You can adjust your bodily activity, your bodily movement. And if you're, you know, especially if you notice the mind doesn't calm down, you do this exercise, which, you know, I mean, normally the exercise helps the mind to calm down, but sometimes it meets some resistance. You know, and then if you adjust the pace of the walking, maybe it shakes you out of that particular mental habit, physical habit and mental habit, and your mind is different. You know, I mean, a very basic one is you know, some of the teachers actually emphasize that if you walk slower, it slows your mind down. It's like when we come and sit here, you know, when you sit here, the body calms down, the breathing calms down. Generally, it helps your mind calm down. Yeah. For some people, it has the opposite effect, of course, because they have a restless mind. Yeah. And sometimes maybe your mind doesn't calm down when you do walk at normal, so-called normal pace, because there's a lot of kind of unconscious nervous energy in the body. Or if you walk a bit quicker, sometimes it helps to ground or dissipate that nervous energy. And then even for a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then, oh, you notice the body calming down, the mind calming down. And when the mind calms down, the body calms down. You know, vice versa. They're interrelated. And, you know, in the process of developing calm, for example, The first exercise of walking is just to be aware of the sensation of feet touching the ground. One foot touching the ground first. It's the movement of touching the ground. The other one's still on the ground, hopefully. You aren't leaping meditation, hopping meditation. So you're aware of one, it's like one point on your breathing. You're aware of one sensation of your foot. But if that's your mind can be settled with that, try and be aware of two steps, huh? Or even three steps, three parts to the step. As you're walking, I mean, a bit hard to. As you're walking, your foot lifts up, moves along, and goes down. Huh? Right? Anyway, try it. I mean, ideally, this would come out of your mind calming down and your increasing awareness. You notice there's more parts to the step, to stepping, than just the foot touching down. In order for the foot to touch down, it has to lift up first, right? Anyway, but I mean, we just use this so you have more parts of the stepping to focus on, so you can increase your mindfulness. Sometimes it helps to increase the concentration because you have to concentrate more closely to observe these refinements of the foot moving, you see. Whereas other people, if the mind is a bit active, for example, you're walking, your foot's lifting up, think, oh, right, foot touching down, I got it. Think, foot touching. You only have concentration when your foot is actually touching down because there's a strong sensation. And between it, when there's not much to be aware of, your mind's thinking all over the place. Whereas if you have to watch now, oh, the foot's lifting up, moving along, it's going down. Then I shift my weight from the back foot to the front foot. And then it lifts up and it moves along and it goes down. Then I shift my weight to the other foot. Don't think about it too much. But just bring more awareness to the walking process, and you see there's quite a bit to it. The shift in weight of the body, and the different movements in the foot. I gave this exercise one time to somebody in Switzerland, and I mentioned about these, various parts of the step. Yeah. You can develop it quite refined. And she said, I can observe every single bone in my foot moving. Really? There's 26 bones in the foot, I believe. I said, what's your job? She said, I'm a physiotherapist. So, of course, she learns and she studied every single bone in the foot. So she has extra knowledge, and then it brings it into her awareness now. She knows every single bone in the foot that's moving as she walks, you see. Well, that's too much for me. I'll give you a bit of brain burnout, maybe. 26 bones to be aware of. It's a bit much. Yeah? But if the point is, it's just an exercise in increasing calm and awareness, concentration and awareness. If you have too much, maybe too much to observe, your concentration goes because your mind is so clouded with bones moving that you can't see the calm in it. But for other people who have a very busy mind, trying to observe the more details can help to focus the mind. You have to look more carefully, you have to focus more carefully to see the detail. But sometimes that focusing makes your mind too narrow. And your mind, your nervous energy gets too pent up. You need a bit of space. So you walk faster then. Just observing one step for a while. Depending upon what it does to your mind. And the body too, because the body and mind are interrelated. So to be a bit more adaptable, flexible. And especially, when you leave the formal retreat situation. If you find the walking meditation useful, for example, maybe you have to adapt it to wherever you are. Yeah. walking from your car to your office, or walking from the bus to the office, or whatever, you know. And as I mentioned, continuity is very helpful, so you can just keep up these little bits and pieces through the course of the day. You notice your mind can, you know, begin to change your old habit of a restless mind to a more settled, calm, focused mind. Especially these moments when you're, you know, so-called got nothing to do in particular. You just, and going from driving my car to going into the office. So you're walking, but your mind's all over the place. I got to do this, I got to do that, and you aren't really walking. You know, your body's walking, but where's your mind walking? Your mind and body are not together. You're disembodied right now. But if you use the exercise, you can use this, maybe formally speaking, anyway, in the beginning. If you collect yourself, and when your body is walking, your mind is walking with it, with collectedness and clarity. And you get to wherever you're going, and your mind is still collected and clear, not scattered and restless and whatever, agitated. Try it out for yourself. So soon is the this clock hasn't been changed, fortunately. Otherwise, we missed the meal already. But, check it. Yeah, right. You get a bit confused. Temporal confusion here. Which clock has been changed and which hasn't been changed? So you have some time to develop some walking meditation, at least down to the kitchen anyway. And then the schedule changes slightly because no rest after the meal. 12 o'clock up here again, huh?
Yep.
For the final summary.
Test.
The final test. Exam, yeah. The test exam. yeah. I give interviews. We have an opening for a resident arahant, so I have taking interviews. We have interviews for a resident enlightened master here, so I'm taking interviews now. So anyway, if you continue, and if you can maintain also some degree of collectedness and clarity, I mentioned a little bit yesterday about using, say, the mealtime for, you know, as a meditation exercise, but you know, it takes a little bit more flexibility, adaptability. You're still breathing as you're eating. So the breath is always there. You need a point of reference, but maybe there's other things which are other physical sensations taking prominence. You know, you're seeing, we're hearing, we're smelling, we're tasting, we're touching. You can say that if you have enough concentration, it focuses on whatever is most prominent, what most obvious. It's the strongest sensory impingement at that time. But then it changes. You know, your hands touching the spoon or the food. But as soon as it enters your mouth, the strongest sensation is the taste. You know, hopefully it's not too spicy. Or too tasty even. Then once you swallow the food, then that sensation goes away. Now what else now? And you're seeing the food again. You're seeing, tasting, touching. Maybe there's a smelling. There's always the breathing. So if you feel a bit confused, just go back to the breathing again. But you can also try to be a bit more adaptable and flexible to whatever is the most prominent experience. And see what it does to your body and your mind. What's the feeling tone? You know, you're picking up the spoon, neutral. Putting it in your mouth, pleasant feeling tone. If you like it, it was tasty. Maybe the smell, you know, different, pleasant, unpleasant. What state of mind does it bring up in you? Oh, I want some more of that. What can I get that recipe for that? Especially the, green tea cake yesterday. Here is a very popular item. Very, very pleasant feeling tone with that. Huh? It was pretty tasty. Just pleasant feeling tone, right? So we always have the point of reference of breathing and walking, feet touching the ground. So there's a basic, but of course there's much more going on. And so if you can be a bit more flexible in, you know, what supports collectedness or calm and clarity, clear awareness, calm concentration, then you know, you can notice that these factors, they're universal factors. We all have them to a certain degree. But the Buddha's reminding us these are factors of awakening too. So it can be helpful to cultivate them and develop them further.